Hadi bakalım.
What's up, everybody? Like a sex toy hitting a WNBA court, Human Reaction is back. And with all of that hard-hitting journalism and news that you've come to expect from us, thank you so much for joining us. I am joined by David Rand today. How are you doing today, David?
Doing great. Doing great. I got more jokes, but they YouTube won't let me say them, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah, the jokes write themselves with this one, fortunately for us, but unfortunately for us, the algorithms are not very kind to those jokes. So before we get into the show, which I'm sure you're already aware of what we're covering, please do comment, like, subscribe wherever you're watching this show. If you're on YouTube, hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. And yes, without further ado, today we are talking about the WNBA dildo saga. And we're not even going to try, David, I don't think we should even try to censor this one. It's just going to, it's going to do what it's going to do.
We're not going to call them
schmildos. If the internet can't handle that.
Yeah, right. Rabbi male, Shmuley, right?
Male,
yeah,
why don't we call them Shmoolies?
Yeah, Shmoolies getting thrown onto the court. Yeah, Shmoolies. Is that worse? That might be worse censorship. I mean, we're going to talk about Israel on our next episode. So, yeah, we're just
I think that's actually worse. It's better to talk about dildos in the WNBA than it is about Israel. So.
Yeah, all right. So we got an excellent meme of this reality that we live in is the one that Donald Trump sacrificed for. This is the freedom to toss a phallic-shaped schmooley onto a court. Yikes. Look at that thing.
That is a big schmooley right there.
Yeah. Impressive.
Okay. I'm not going to call it a schmooley anymore. I can't. Yeah, really compliments his tiny hands, doesn't it? Wow.
Okay. It's all about perspective.
That's true. This is already too much.
This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with two V's and two P's, or just check the show notes for a link.
Okay, so for those of you wondering what the heck we're talking about, obviously you've been living under a rock this past week, because since the last week of July, the first dildo was thrown onto a WNBA court July 29th. And you might be wondering why, and I think so are we. But you might also be wondering why we're even talking about the WNBA as well, because obviously this is pretty far afield of what we normally talk about. Why is this relevant? I don't know, but this is such an interesting cultural moment. We have to dig into it. So this first dildo was thrown during a game between the Golden State Valkyries and the Atlanta Dream. It was lime green. It caused quite a stir on the broadcast. Something had gotten thrown at the court. No one knew what it was. And then finally a camera was able to zoom in on it for just a brief moment. They're like, okay. That's, and it was just so incredibly awkward. And obviously this blew up on the internet, and it was amazing. And then this happened again. And after it happened again, one of the WNBA players, one of the stars of the league, Sophie Cunningham, had this to say about it. She said, "Stop throwing dildos on the court. You're going to hurt one of us." Nick Sortor with one of the top comments, "I'm sorry, I thought this was America." Nice. Somehow, Josie, the redheaded libertarian, you brought this upon yourself. I'm not sure how, but, you know,
I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and then we got Rabbi Shmuley below, right? I'm like, yeah, he's right there. Dissident
media. We do
posted him. Yeah, this is a boom.
No idea why.
It
looks like
him, right.
Well, it is. And actually, the connection here is that he owns a sex toy company, doesn't he? Kosher Sex, right. It looks like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's his thing with his daughter.
We're not trying to advertise his company. He's not a sponsor of the show, at least not yet. Maybe we could reach out
someday. I'm sure. So this causes this obviously a viral stir about why is this happening and why is it happening, Joe? It's such a weird thing.
Well, I don't know why it's happening. There's some reasons why it's happening. But before we get to like the main reason why the lime green dildo thing was a thing, we have to acknowledge that on August 5th, that's 3 days ago as a recording day, there have been a total of 4 dildos that have hit the court. And Sophie Cunningham, who made that prior tweet, was actually struck by one, and we have a video of that.
I'm like, ah, what else are you supposed to do? That's what I would do. I mean, I can't blame on that one.
No, not at all. Okay. And first of all, I just want to say, like, it would not be very cool if I was playing basketball professionally, taking my job seriously, and I was getting phallic objects chucked at me. I would not enjoy it very much. So I understand why there is some real upset about this within the league. But Sophie Cunningham did have a really good sense of humor about it, and she revised her prior tweet, noting that this did not age well. The tweet being, "Stop throwing dildos on the court, you're going to hit one of us." That did in fact happen.
Green Goblin.
Also this.
He can't keep getting away with it. So what's better? Do we talk about the way people are reacting to it and then talk about the cause, or do we talk about the cause and then talk about the way people are reacting to it? Because I don't think people are reacting to it in relationship to the real cause. Right. That's what's so strange about this. Right. It's more about the meme of it than it is about what's happening at any given time.
It is the meme for sure. And so we'll come back to the memes in just a second. But just to point out, OK, why did this start occurring? Well, it turns out that there is a cryptocurrency called Green Dildo Coin. And they had established this as a viral guerrilla marketing campaign to raise awareness for their shitcoin. And so they've claimed responsibility. The Green Dildo Coin community has admitted to coordinating the throws. They've actually distributed these items to their coin holders and encouraged them to throw them during games to create viral moments and, of course, pump the coin's price. And it has the impact on the coin. The price has surged in conjunction with some of these moments. I don't know if it's currently up this much, but 60% plus in one day. This coin is absolutely fully wrecked right now. But so like 60% increases correlated with the throwing incidents. But they've actually, this is interesting, they've actually distanced themselves from the other color objects that have been thrown on the court, citing brand consistency. We don't condone or encourage the throwing of purple dildos is a quote from the Green Dildo Coin community. So
this is why we made the internet, guys. This is why it exists. Bringing people together, pulling them apart. Yeah. Yeah. Free association is a bitch.
It's everything. It's everything all at once. Okay, so we should note here. So a few things happened after the fourth dildo was thrown in these recent days, just prior to the recording of this episode. So the thrower of the original lime green dildo was identified and arrested. His name is Caden Lopez. He's 18. And he looks exactly like what you'd expect him to look like, doesn't he?
Yeah. He looks like he buys shit coins. That sounds right.
Yeah. For sure. And the guy who would be like, haha, this would be funny. I'd get some clout by throwing a dildo at the WNBA court when I go to a game. Now, this tweet absolutely rips because the commenter here, Dial Up Dad, says, bro got arrested for being the most accurate shooter at a WNBA game. Probably true. Probably true.
Yikes.
Okay. So, Yeah. And then, dude, after this, the memes were absolutely fire. So one other thing happened. As the WNBA got wind of the fact that this was a trend, they decided to ban the admission of bags, like of handbags or backpacks or anything like that, to WNBA arenas for the games. And so everyone's wondering, because now the betting markets have exploded, right? The betting markets are saying, okay, you can bet on what color the next dildo is going to be. You can bet on the day that the next dildo is thrown. Like, these betting markets are actually exceeding in total dollar volume the bets that are taking place on the game itself. which is best insane. And the worst publicity for the WNBA of all time, because the WNBA has never been more famous than this moment.
Yeah.
And it's not about the WNBA. More, and that's
there. Yeah. And it's really sad for them, right? Because if you're a WNBA fan, like, you've had this big takeoff in the last year, 2 years, where the WNBA has got a lot bigger all of a sudden because of Caitlin Clark and, you know, the drama around her and other athletes. So it's drawn a lot of eyes. And then now it's being overtaken by a meme coin creating a financial incentive to throw dildos onto the court, which is now bigger than the sport itself. Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's sad.
And funny. Yeah. So now the memes have actually really, really exploded. Me smuggling a neon green dildo into the WNBA game.
Breathe this in, one, breathe out, you got this.
this one, I'm going to throw a dildo on the court. How will you get it past security? just a look of knowing. The WNBA security guard, when he sees a dude walking weirdly but can't prove he has a green dildo up his ass. In fact, I did see another one. I didn't link it, but it's like, it's like one of those drug busts where all the cops are standing around like a pile of cocaine, only it's like four WNBA security guards standing around a pile of dildos. I mean, really, really amazing. And I'm going to keep just firing these off because they're just too good. A second green dildo has hit the WNBA, whispering in George Bush's ear.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What else? Man.
3.5 million
this,
dudes.
This one's really good.
That's just insane.
This one's really good. This one says, another dildo showed up at a WNBA game. It's a picture of Howard Stern sitting courtside. Howard Stern, who is getting his show canceled, actually. Pretty soon. Yeah, here.
Getting fired, looks like.
Yep.
Good. Yep. He was terrible.
Okay, so he was. He was awful and just a shit human being as well, and a real pussy. Ask me how I really feel. Okay, so let's see. Where does this leave us? There have now been 6 incidents total in the WNBA. 6 dildos thrown at the court. They're investigating the crypto ties. The coaches are calling it sexist and hazardous. Another dildo was thrown last night. This one was purple. I know you're all wondering for your betting lines. Yeah, and you know. The coaches have actually had some things to say about this, and so I think we should go ahead and play one of those statements, because you know this is negatively impacting their game and their players, and so we should hear what they have to say.
Okay, to be clear too, I'm laughing a lot, but it's true, right? I mean, it's true that it's disrespectful and not cool to do.
I want to comment on this has been going on for centuries. The sexualization of this is the latest version of that. And it's not funny. And it should not be about jokes on any radio shows or in print or any comments. The sexualization of women is what's used to hold women down. And this is no different. This is just its latest story. And we should write about it in that way. And these people that are doing this should be held accountable. And not, we're not the butt of the joke. They're the problem. Throwing things onto the court.
How long do you think it took to animate the floppiness of that? I'm probably gonna check somebody a minute to do.
Yeah, that's artistry right there. You know,
yeah.
Getting the physics right on that takes time. Okay, all right. That's pretty much all of the like funny, ridiculous shit that I have on this, David. I don't know if you have anything else, but actually, I guess the last interesting thing is that the league is allegedly considering cavity searches to get into the arenas. I have no idea if that is substantiated as true or not, but I have read it in a few different places that it's being considered. So I guess if they want to turn people away from coming to WNBA games, then that's probably the way to do it.
Well, I mean, banning like attendance is what you're going to have to do at some point, given how big the financial, and then you're ruining people's experience with WNBA, and then you ruin your fees and people coming in. I mean, you have to completely restructure your income as the WNBA. It's a weird thing of perverse, you know, trade-offs, right? Because if you ban bags, then they sneak it in with poverty cavities. And so now you have a less, even more dangerous thing being thrown into the court. Crazy. Yeah, so
that's a really interesting point. I did not think about that.
Yeah. So one of the things, okay, so the way I'm thinking about this, the degree that I've thought about it, which is not that much, but this has some implications about the way we work as a social order, right? What, like the memification of it, the where it's like a joke, it's a meme, it is funny. You have like this interpretation from the coach, if you take it outside of the thing dangling our face, this whole like, this is what it means for the social order, right? We're like seeing this as like a watershed moment to sexualize women when they're doing sports. But we kind of sexualize everybody in sports, right? We sexualize male players a lot too, all the time, actually, especially, and women do it as well. Like talk about, have you ever seen women talk about going to baseball games and the way things look in those like tight little pants they wear? You know, it's a thing. It's real. I've seen it. So if there's the sexualization of athletes is very normal, right? It's like a human thing that humans do. But obviously this is like trying to take that lens of like the feminism lens and place this on this when it's actually not that. It's really about a coin and drawing attention to it. Right. So like there's this false signaling that's happening to try to interpret this in a particular way for ideological purposes, which actually undermines, yeah, you know, which actually kind of like tries to make it into like a social issue. And is that taking off? Is that like I don't think that's the way everyday people are looking at it. I think they're looking as a joke more so than that, I would guess. But I don't know.
I mean, I think really it depends on your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to know how like the everyday like normie sports fan is looking at this. Like, is this ruining the sport for them? Were they watching the WNBA otherwise? This is happening in particular context too. You know, Caitlin Clark coming into the NBA just when she was drafted, right? That was the most watched draft since 2000. And then on top of that, WNBA viewership and attendance since she joined the league is up 21% overall, with non-fever gains seeing a 37% increase, right? And Caitlin Clark, if you don't know, if you're not a sports person, and the only reason I know about it is because it's kind of drifted into politics because of the racial animosity around this. She's a white player, joins the Indiana Fever, does really well her freshman, her first year. She's a fantastic shooter. I mean, and overall player, and really draws a lot of people to the game. So in 2024, yeah, that year was a record 2.45 million views. The All-Star game of that year had 3.44 million views, which is the all time high, partly due to Caitlin Clark's involvement. So,
sure.
This year she's been injured, and that effect has continued though, right? So like there was a huge boost to the WNBA at this time. And then on top of that, there's also the controversy around pay. But let's just stay there for a minute. Caitlin Clark is a variable. And then like when I was talking about the racial animus part of it is, I mean, there's been a lot of viralness to how the rest of the league has reacted to her kind of rise. And it's been like in this strange racial terms, right? Where mm-hmm. black female players are taking it personal, kind of, is kind of the way it's demonstrated. I don't know how true that is systemically, but it's became the popular understanding of it. And that she's doing right. all these fouls are really brutal. She's getting knocked to the ground all the time. She does get injured. You know, all these things are happening, and it's like the strange, it's another negative turn on the WNBA too, like that is, but it's also driving viewership, right? More drama to sports always drives more viewership.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a really interesting point. And I think it's not just Caitlin Clark either. That's drawing some of these fouls. There seems to be this like, bubbling up of resentment and like in racial tension going on in the league right now, which is obviously attracting attention to it. So that, you know, while it's not a positive thing for society, is working in their favor for viewership. And some other things about, you know, things you mentioned in there too, about the virality of the league and this sort of like Caitlin Clark era of the WNBA. I mean, there have been several moments that I can remember in this Caitlin Clark era where the WNBA has been the origin of memes that have been created. And, you know, sports betting is growing huge right now, but I remember, and this was not that long ago, you know, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, you know, have this kind of rivalry, right? And there were people who were actually betting on whether or not Angel Reese would miss her first shot of the game. Yep. And making a ton of money doing it. And, you know, she went like six games, I think, or seven games without making her first shot. You know, and so like there have been other things around this. I mean, like you see reels on Instagram all the time of like, hey, would you rather have a dollar or a pair of WNBA tickets? And somebody will take the dollar. You know, it's like there's been this cultural, you know, cloud over the WNBA differently. It feels like from other women's sports leagues that just sort of lacks the legitimacy that the WNBA or that the NBA has. And mm-hmm. I think maybe a part of that is that the WNBA is directly subsidized by the NBA. I mean, similarly to some other sports leagues, you know, it's an outreach strategy. It's an investment in bringing women into the sport, growing the fan base. And it's a long-term strategy. It's been 28 years that the WNBA has existed as sort of subsidized and invested in by the NBA, and they have never turned a profit. And their revenue is up quite substantially, but the headwinds are charter flights and player salaries. And I don't know, you know, with the pay us what you owe us campaign that we've just seen happen in the last week, that they're really going to outpace that. But there's some interesting timing here too. Like, do you think there's any significance to the pay us what you owe us campaign happening in the last couple of weeks? And then, you know, the dildos being thrown on the court outside of the context of the meme coin, like, I guess the sub question to that is like, is there a reason why you think the green dildo coin picked the WNBA as the venue for this?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the pay thing is interesting because, you know, because the WNBA is subsidized by the NBA. I've always wondered to what degree the NBA's subsidization of that is a tax write-off that they can then use to reduce their taxable liability. That's possible. Pretty typical corporate holdings sort of tactic. The pay us what you owe us campaign, you know, it, as far as like they wear the shirts on the court, says pay us what you owe us. The WNBA is not unionized, unlike the NBA and a lot of other male sports leagues. So they haven't had the collective bargaining to ask for more wages. It seems strange that they didn't. I mean, it's pretty. You know, it doesn't seem like it would be hard to unionize the WNBA other than the fact that honestly, they just don't. I mean, on average, most female sports athletes just do not make as much money or get the kind of viewership that men do. So it depends on what they're asking, right? Are they asking to be paid the same as NBA stars? Well, that seems silly, right? Because they get orders of magnitude more viewership, right? So they get paid more. They get more tickets, they sell out more games, all that kind of stuff. If they're being asked to pay a greater percentage of the total amount of revenue, that's a different sort of question. And then, like, that's a question of bargaining and people's ability to, you know, put pressure on the owners to do just that. There's some stuff I've seen about wage structure and the way they structure their contracts that could be negotiated as well by collective bargaining if that's what they wanted to do. once again, I have no.
Are you advocating for the WNBA to unionize?
I mean, it might make sense for the people who are in it. I mean, the thing I disagree with collective bargaining is when you get the government involved, right? When you force people into the union, that's when it's a problem, right? And because of the 1939 Labor and Wage Act, I believe it was called, it basically says if you get 51% of any workforce, you can force the other 49% in, unless you are in a right to work state, which was a court case that happened afterwards. So that kind of evolved, kind of like Obamacare does with work requirements. The same thing with the Labor Relations Act. That's what it is. So back in 1939, they basically, because FDR really wanted the labor vote, he gave them this big favor, which was forcing the other 49% to have to join the union if you can get 51% of a workforce to enter a union. But if they can do it voluntarily, convince all the players, if they are systemically underpaid, then there you go. You can have unions. I mean, unions existed before 1939, too. In fact, there's some labor economists who suggest that labor unions were better and more responsive to their labor members of the union before the 1939 Act, because you didn't have the forcing mechanism, right? They had to keep everybody in by persuasion and social pressure. So that made them much more responsive. Am I advocating for it? It depends on the people in it, right? And what they want. I mean, if they can get that kind of consensus.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tough thing for sure. It's something like, obviously, athletes want to be paid what they feel is fair value for the work that they're providing. Or actually, maybe in this case, more than the value of the work that they're providing. Because... yes, while there's a large discrepancy actually between the percentage of gross revenue that WNBA players are paid versus NBA players, I believe it is 9 to 10% of league revenue that WNBA players make, whereas the NBA makes 49 to 50% of league revenue. However, wow. The NBA grosses $10 billion a year, and I believe the WNBA is somewhere in the hundreds of millions right now, and losing about 40 to 50 million a year. So it's just a different economic question as well, regardless of collective bargaining, contract structures and stuff like that. Like, the league is still maturing in some sense, in a lot of senses, I think. And even though it's existed for 28 years, it has a long way to go before it's actually like economically viable. So if you want to be, in my view, if you want to be paid more, you have to bring more value. You have to bring more viewers. And the sad truth is, and perhaps it's sad, perhaps it's humorous, depending on your perspective, like the memes that emanate from the WNBA, all of the like humor around these different things, the dildos or the fights or the, you know, whatever it might be, create more awareness of the league and make people want to watch it. I mean, more people are probably watching it right now. I haven't looked at viewership numbers, but I imagine a lot of people are watching WNBA games right now to see if a dildo gets thrown on the court every night. Like, that's good for the league. Good for the league. I'm sorry. Ironically. And it's a double-edged sword, because, you know, at a certain point, it's like, yes, it is sort of, it creates this feeling of like, oh, this is all a joke. Like, this is delegitimizing to like these really talented athletes who have spent a lot of time and energy developing their skills. And you don't want to see that. Like, I don't want to see that any more than I want to see, you know, some trans woman walk on the court and dunk on everyone and make it, you know, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Although actually that might be pretty entertaining as well, but you know, it's sort of this double-edged sword where it's like, do you want to grow? You have to leverage kind of all the virality that you can. This is the world that we live in without losing the core integrity of the brand itself.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too. Why do women not watch the WNBA? You know, ask yourself that question. And why don't men? Well, men probably don't, at least in part because the standard of play is lower. Yeah. I mean, that's a reality. I mean, at least speaking as a dude who played basketball, played in high school, enjoy a basketball game. I'll watch an NBA game if it's around. The reality is I checked out a WNBA game. I happened to be in Indianapolis the day before, 2 days before the All-Star game. WNBA was everywhere, and it was kind of cool. I went out and I watched like a girls basketball tournament and stuff. But the reality is the standard of play is much lower. And for men who are used to watching the NBA, it's kind of tough to watch that many missed shots and the kind of lower standard of play that honestly, and I don't mean this as derogatory. I mean, this is straight up just being honest. It looks like middle school basketball, you know, not quite high school basketball when it comes to the percentage from the field, the way the players move, the way they dribble, the way they pass. I mean, everything in there is just, it feels like a lower standard of play, and you shouldn't expect high viewership with that. Now, with Caitlin Clark, it shows that the women's basketball league could be much better. And if that ceiling rises, you could see more men watch it if the sports go up. Now, a good example of that I'm much more familiar with is fighting. There are points where female fighters were drawing tremendous views, still less than male fighters, but you have, you know, Holly Holm and others that were drawing tremendous views on her championship bouts, because they were very competitive and they were a high level fight game. The lower level, UFC fighters for women, they don't fight the same as the dudes, but the high level ones, they do, right? Amanda Nunes at one point was one of the most dominant fighters in UFC, ever, and had more title defenses and all that kind of stuff. I mean, like, she was really dominant and drew a lot of people. But even then, like, there's always this thing that sits in the background that says, compared to the dudes, she's still not drawing the same amount of viewers. And underneath, like, the real fight game question is always, well, who could really win in a fight? You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, in fight game, it's always like, well, the guy has an innate advantage. It's just there. So there's that question of the WNBA's, like, that level of play. If they can upgrade that, maybe they'll get more viewers outside the virality. If they really want to, you know, I guess, earn it, those more viewers the old-fashioned way. But outside that, like, this is an opportunity for the WNBA, depending on how they react. If they react with offense, more people are going to be like, well, now I'm just going to troll you, right? If they react with good humor, right, like that WNBA Sophie Cunningham reacted, then you look more like you're just like, hey guys, it's not cool, but you know, it is kind of funny. That I think that's much more respectable. People appreciate that more.
Right. Well, and if you think about, you know, the ways to diffuse bullying or things like that, you know, if you, or like, you know, mean-spirited joking, if you lean into it and you diffuse it and you take the power away, it goes away because it's no longer funny. Trolls are looking for a rise. They're looking for the outrage. And if you give that to them, they will exploit that to the nth degree until there's no more outrage to be farmed from you. But you know, I think you're right though, as far as the athleticism goes, like it is a lower standard of play, but players like Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham and others are like bringing more to the game that I think is making it more interesting. And sort of similarly to, something like, you know, the breaking of like the 4-minute mile mark, you know, I think it might be one of those things where it's like the standard of play is where it is until someone proves that it can be better. And then all of a sudden it opens the floodgates. Right. And it attracts more talent and it causes young women to aspire to be like Caitlin Clark or whomever they idolize in the league. And the game improves and ratchets up and up and up over time. Will it ever, you know, be as physical and as, you know, exciting as an NBA game? Maybe not by our conventional metrics, but I think it can be absolutely entertaining with or without memes, you know, causing a stir, mid game. And I think, I mean, there's another interesting thing around the sort of standard of play that caught my ear when you were mentioning the fights. Do you remember, I think it was like 2017 or so, the U.S. women's national soccer team played it was FC Dallas under 15 boys club team and lost 5-2. Yes. Like it's moments like that are really hard to like overcome when it comes to like the standard of play question or the pay question, because there was a big pay controversy in, you know, women's soccer for a long time as well. So it's like, how do we navigate that as a culture? Do we just accept the fact that it's going to be different and it has to be different because men and women are built differently and the physicality is going to be different. And, you know, if it's less entertaining to watch for whatever reason, being apples to apples, you know, the revenue's not going to be there because the excitement's not there and the crowds aren't there. But if there are ways to leverage it and get creative and be humorous or be, you know, be open to sort of exploiting the opportunities that are presented to you for growth, for virality, and you lean into that. I mean, the sky is really the limit. It could be really interesting. I guess one good example of leaning in would be like the Bikini Football League or whatever. I don't actually know if it exists anymore, but I know it was a thing, or they do like exhibition games or something, but like, that's a great way to get men to watch women's football, you know? I mean, and they're actually like, I mean, they're great athletes, like in their own right, but like it draws to the point you made earlier, like athletes are sort of sex symbols in their own right. And people have, you know, objectified men and women athletes for a long time. I mean, look at, you know, David Beckham or something like that. Right. I mean, like these are cultural icons that grow out of these sports. So it's really not super clean cut between just athleticism and sex appeal. There's a crossover between the two that has always and will always exist.
Yeah. Magic Johnson didn't get AIDS from not having sex. he was a famous, very dominant athlete. Going all the way back to like the Roman gladiators, right? I mean, or sex symbols of their time. I mean, this is in the human genome. Performance and dominance in a sport is a proxy for performance and dominance in other things. That's more typically associated with men. But when a woman is attractive and physically capable, that's not unattractive, right? I mean, that's not nothing to a guy. So where they should go with it, I could not tell you, but if they did decide to lean into it, right? I mean, imagine for a moment you got WNBA marketed branded dildos that you could buy at the WNBA store online. Right.
I did see a meme about that, a fake product listing of the lime green WA branded dildo. So the internet's way ahead of you on that one, David. Overall, do you think, I mean, as we've already kind of covered this a little bit, do you think that this is overtly sexist or this is harassment?
Well, I mean, depends on how you think about it, right? I mean, if sexism implies motive, right? If the motive was to be sexist, that would be sexist, right? If the motive was to point something out about the difference between men and women's sports or whatever, and it can't be sexist if it's a joke, right? I mean, if it's meant to be humorous, that's by definition not sexist. I mean, you don't mean the thing you're saying. You're trying to get a laugh out of people. That's not the same thing. Right. So this like boiling down of terms to something just being it because it has the wrong vibe, right? Because it isn't PC. It doesn't really check in the current way that, at least the way that the internet relates to these things, the way that the culture broadly relates to these things now. But the question is, is the vibe different? Like, are we in the Donald Trump era where you can make jokes about the WNBA and not be called a sexist? No. Right. That's still there. I mean, obviously shown by the coach here and what she's saying.
Yeah.
Other NBA players have said similar stuff about how this is like men trying to keep women's sports down and stuff like that. That's like subscribing a motive that isn't apparent from the information that we have when you look any deeper the phenomena of the things being thrown on the court. But at the end of the day, too, I can also understand that, you know, I understand the motive that women want them to be taken seriously the way men's sports is being taken seriously, you know, and this does reduce the seriousness of the sport. And I understand that. I sympathize with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be, as a professional athlete, you know, told less, but at the same time, they're also complaining about pay and not getting enough attention. So it's like you can have it both ways, maybe a little bit. You can't infantilize the professional athlete as well into like, this is a market test. You're ultimately competing against all other sports, including men's sports, for viewership. So what's the market telling you?
Right. Right. At the end of the day, it's about ticket sales and what are you making? I just interest sake looked up what Caitlin Clark makes, and it looks like, as a part of her 4-year rookie contract worth $338,000, she has an average annual salary of $84,000. So obviously a far cry less than what the average star in the NBA makes. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's tens of millions of dollars. However, her earnings are supplemented by substantial endorsement deals estimated at $11 million in 2024, including partnerships with Nike, Gatorade, State Farm, and others. So her total earnings are are estimated at around 3.5 to 5 million a year as of this year. So, you know, there obviously, like, at a certain point, you have to ask yourself, what is enough to be paid for being a tremendous athlete? 3.5 million to 5 million seems like a really solid number for an annual salary. And a lot of people, literally, you know, 99% of the nation's population would absolutely take that in a second.
Especially to play.
And so
a
how
sport.
That comes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to think, yeah, maybe you can make that much money like grinding on Wall Street, or, you know, you can't make that much money doing a blue collar job. Certainly that's far more dangerous. So you got to really keep it in perspective, I think, too. You know, is our NBA salaries way out of proportion? Maybe, but they're also commensurate with the value that they bring, high entertainment value. So at the end of the day, it's like, if you want to get paid more, you got to bring more to the table. And what is that? It's star power. It's humor. It's virality. It's whatever you can do to increase the entertainment value of what you're providing to people. Yeah. I have a theory about this, and I was actually corroborated by a tweet I found. Because the NBA is subsidized by the NBA, what if the NBA was in cahoots with Green Dildo Coin to throw the dildos at the court as a publicity stunt to increase viewership of WNBA games?
That'd be a deep cut, man. That'd be You're the Always Sending Philadelphia, like, on the board here.
Yeah, Charlie on the board,
Charlie,
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm yeah, I'm always poking job. Around for the
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, but truly, likely. Of course, not likely at all.
He kicks it off the court.
And there's so no funny. Evidence to suggest it.
Yeah, but I mean,
but gosh, something to increase. Good.
Well, you're doing a quid bono, right? Like, who benefits? Right. Well, the shitcoin benefits, and the WNBA does. So does the WNBA, the starter of the shitcoin? That's the question. Yeah.
In this case, it's cui boner. But anyway.
One of the things I thought that was interesting about that is, like, when you were complaining about this, when we're talking about them making median wages, right? Because $60,000 to $80,000 is the median wage in the United States right now. When you were talking about that, I thought that we didn't like the fact that NBA players are made so much money. Right. I mean, is the WNBA just a more just league that pays more fair salaries that isn't so unfair compared to the rest of the social order? Right. Like, what's our standard? Because
that's a good question.
That was the common sense point of view, that NBA players are paid too much. So where's their other money going to go? Well, they should go to the government. I don't know. But I mean, should it go to the corporation? Like, that's the typical, you know, I think room temperature IQ take about, you know, how much people are paid. OCOs are paid too much. They don't bring enough value, like labor theory of value type stuff. Or it's just unfair that some small groups of people have, you know, more assets than others. Those sorts of things, like the Bernie Sanders like meme narrative. Well, this is the other end of that, right? And then the way we orientate towards it, when they are paid around the median wage for doing a sport, we're like, how outrageous is this? Right. I mean, yeah. Like, I don't really understand how the social order really should orientate to it, given its own values, just looking at it from its own perspective and how it's doing that. It's obviously not integrated at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to come down to the market deciding. Like, the market at this moment has decided the NBA is more entertaining than the WNBA.
Yeah.
And more profitable as a result. And so until the WNBA can leverage things that will increase revenue, like, you know, maybe not making a huge stink about this, or maybe making a stink about this and creating a controversy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are teams of marketing and PR people working behind the scenes right now to figure out how to turn this into something that will have lasting benefits for this league. And they should, because it's, mm-hmm. it's free publicity. You know, they're not paying to be trending on X right now every day.
Yeah. You know,
that's a good thing, even if it's not for a good reason. You know, it'll imprint when the time has elapsed and the significance and the humor of the moment around the dildo thing has gone away. Like, the WNBA will retain awareness in people's minds. It will retain mind share for people. They may not remember exactly why, but it'll be there. And so, yeah, lean into it. You play it the best you can and try to make it worth something.
100%.
Well, that's all I got on the WNBA. I don't know enough to go any further than that, but that was fun.
That was fun. We have one more little video to play us out here. We'll take a page out of the soon to be former late night talk show host Stephen Colbert's book with a little moment of zen as I pull this link up.
Oh, I missed the throw. You missed the throw.
I did. I'll play it all the way from the beginning. I played it from the beginning. All right, here we go.
There it is. There's a throw. Guy in a chicken costume.
Here we go. I think you might be way behind, but I'm going to start this over from here just so we get a clean take of it. All right, here we go. Right. I think the moral of the story here, David, is that there's just something inherently funny about dildos.
Yeah, there is. It's funny.
And it's not always sexual. It's just, it's absurd. It's ridiculous.
I mean, what are the odds that all the guys on that bus are, I mean, it could just be dudes just having a great time.
Clearly.
I like how he ducks his head to catch it too. Like, that's a really impressive move. That's like something else.
See, that's athleticism. That's true athleticism. Give this man a WNBA contract and you will go far. Okay, that is for this saga.
I'm just Final thoughts, have a new way to talk about women's sports. It's not talking about transgenders, right? We just have a new way to talk about women's sports. I didn't talk about women's sports or think about it up until 2014, 16, somewhere in there. And all of a sudden now we talk about it. And now we have a new way to talk about it, which is, you know, at least it's different. Give you that.
It is different. It is different. And you know what? I look forward to seeing how the league handles this. And I look forward to seeing, you know, what color the next dildo is that is thrown onto the court. I imagine this trend is not over. I'll be curious to see how long this goes on, and maybe this is the new betting market. When is the last dildo thrown for the year?
Yeah, there you go.
We'll have to find out. But I would love for our viewers, you guys at home, let us know what you think of this whole thing. Is this sexist? Is it harassment? Is it funny? Is this good for the WNBA or is it bad for the WNBA? And let us know your thoughts in the comments. And of course, if you'd like to get engaged in the conversation, we've got a Discord server as well. The link for that is in the description below. For now, that's all for Human Reaction. On behalf of David Rand, I'm Joe Sheehan, and we will see you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com.